Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button and you'll go and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. And folks, I had a little technical difficulty there for a while there. That's why my introduction sounds a little janky there. But we're on. And hope today is finding you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, call in number 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can talk about anything related to the subject matter. And someone's horn is going off outside. But You call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here and you just want to disrupt this show, you know, with character assassinations and ad hominem attacks, random insults and excessive profanity, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your comments and your questions, okay? So, let's get this show on the road. I'm going to do the show a little bit different today. It's so many things that came out this week. You know, I just had I spent a good deal preparing for the show today. And basically what I want to say today is we live in a hypocritical society. We live in a hypocritical society. Our beloved United States of America has fallen to the hypocrites. And basically, We are being run by a government that thinks they're above everyone else. And so when they make the rules don't apply to them, but they apply to the rest of us because we're not in the elite company. You know, people have this mistaken idea that our government is to rule over us, and that's really not what they're supposed to do. You know, it's this, you know, you're accountable to the government, but the government's not accountable to you type of thing. That is not what the founding fathers had envisioned for this country. Basically, the rulers of this country are the citizens of this country. That's why we have the voting system and things of that sort. We see somebody, they're not doing their job that we voted them to do. We have the power to vote them out. But the powers that be, they think that because they're in this position of government, they think they're lords over everyone else. They think they have a special privilege over everybody. And I ain't talking about just the white ones either. The white, the black, the Hispanic, the Oriental, whoever. They think they have the priority and the privilege over us, meaning that they're entitled to things that we are not entitled to. They don't have to follow the rules, so to speak. I already gave you the recording last week of Cori Bush, who is one of the leaders of the Defund the Police movement, and she very arrogantly and defiantly is still saying we need to defund the police, but she has a $70,000 security detail, and she gets up there talking about, well, I don't care if I have to spend $200,000. Yeah, guess whose money that really is to get she has the privilege of spending. It comes from us, the taxpayers. But yet and still, you want to defund the police. Let me tell you all something. The police, they do have their problems. Don't get me wrong. But so does every profession. But you want to lower police presence in our cities, which has resulted in a spike in crime. But you feel like that, I'm a senator. I'm a representative. I'm the president. I'm a mayor. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a governor. And you think that, hey, I need to spend because I got work to do. You know, I'm here to do the work. But you don't give a flying flip of a coin about your citizens. But you think you're privileged to this because of your position. But you really don't care about the safety of the people under you. You choose to ignore the stats that show that defunding the police has demoralized the police. Therefore, the police are not going to do as good a job because basically the police think that you all are putting all the heap of blame of everything that's going on, the death of black people and you're putting all that blame on their shoulders. And they say, look, I don't get paid enough for this. That's basically what they're saying. I don't get paid enough for this. Now, all police officers are not bad people. I don't know what the percentage is, but I believe that most police officers really are out there to do their jobs. But of course, you know, the saying goes, you know, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. And you got a relative few that are spoiling for the rest of them. But you're trying to put this off as all police officers are bad. As if, you know, if you want to be a police officer, you're a bad person. And the police officers are being, that their morale has been lowered. So they're not going to be as quick to respond to a call when they get it now, especially if it involves black people. And you can sit there and say, oh, it's because they're black. No, it's not because they're black. It's because they know that when they're dealing with a black person, you know what? Hey, let's just take our time with this one, because if we go over there, something goes down and we end up killing one of them, they're going to look at us like we did it because we're racist. And this is why we find ourselves in the situation that we're in now. I want to read to you an article from Breitbart. And this is dated 9th of August, 2021. Now, you all know that the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, I think that's her name, Lori, is it Lori Lightfoot? Yeah, Lori Lightfoot. You all know that she's also a very loud voice with this defund the police type of thing. And she runs one of the most crime-ridden cities in the country, in Chicago. Get up on Monday morning and just listen to the reports of how many people got shot and how many people got killed in Chicago. And Lori Lightfoot was one of the main people who wanted to defund the police. Now, we had an incident that happened last Saturday. A female cop was shot in the head and killed. She was murdered, 29 years old. And the police, this was the first female cop to die on the job since 1988, 33 years. First cop killed in the line of duty in Chicago since 2018. Now, after this incident, the cops in Chicago said, okay, enough is enough. One of our own gets murdered before she even gets to see her 30th birthday. And you all want to blame us every time someone gets killed by a cop, and you want to defund us. The morale is low in the cops around the country. So, check this out. Chicago police officers turned their backs to Lori Lightfoot when she arrived at the hospital after one officer was killed and another critically wounded, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Officer Ella French was shot and killed Saturday during a traffic stop just after 9 p.m., and her male partner was shot and hospitalized in critical condition. And as far as I know, he's still fighting for his life. The Chicago Sun-Times noted that approximately 30 officers turned their backs to Lightfoot when she arrived at the hospital. The Sun-Times also pointed out that Lightfoot tried to talk to the male officer's father, who himself is a retired Chicago police officer. Sources who were at the hospital suggested the officer's father clearly wanted nothing to do with Lightfoot. I wonder why. Now, see, folks, it's stories like this that stands my hair on end. Really boils my potatoes. You're the mayor of this city, but you demoralize your cops, and then you want to show up like you have some sympathy for the death of one of them, but the cops are like, you wanted to defund us, you wanted to cut down our ranks, and you gonna come here and show up now? You're the reason why Ella French got killed. You're the reason why her partner is still in the hospital fighting for his life. And you want to come here like you want some sympathy or whatever? The devil is a liar. the father of the officer that got killed didn't want anything to do with Lightfoot. And I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't want anything to do with her either. You gonna come here and show up like you trying to show some sympathy and show some compassion for, and you're the reason why she got killed. And then on the other hand, the two young men that were involved in this killing of this police officer, one of them was 20 and the other was 21. Excuse me, one was 20 and the other one was 22 years old. Their mother, she gets arrested because she's like, I want to see my baby. I want to see my baby. I want to see my baby. And so she gets arrested for disturbing the peace. But she gets up and she starts talking about, well, you know, there's another side to this. My sons were scared for their lives. Neither one of the police officers had their hands on their weapon. It was a traffic stop. Neither one of them had their hands on their weapon. Their weapons were not unholstered. But see, once again, certain people, certain factions are buying into this lie that every time a black person gets pulled over by the police, they have a reason to be scared because there's a chance that they might not make it out of that encounter alive, which is one of the biggest lies that is being told around the country. In other words, these boys were just pulled over because they were black. And this mother's up there talking about, there's another story to this. No, it isn't. There's another side to this. No, it ain't no other side of the story. So you think because your boys were scared that they were afraid for their lives, they could just pull out a gun and just shoot somebody? Now, here's the thing that gets me, though. There are a lot of you all out there that say a lot of these shootings by the cops, it's because the cops are in fear of their lives, and y'all sit there and want to mock them and say, oh, listen to them saying they're in fear for their lives. They got a gun. Well, these boys had a gun, too. Why are they in fear of their lives? Why are they in fear of their lives? Y'all want to sit there and talk that garbage. Yeah, when the cops say they're in fear for their lives, what are they talking about? They got a gun. They got all them weapons and everything. What are they talking about? Well, these boys had a gun, too. They were not in fear for their lives. They're a bunch of young punks. And I'm not gonna mince any words. They're a couple of young punks, little monsters, who committed a crime of murder against this female officer. Now, when the story first came out, they said she was a mother. She wasn't a mother, but now she won't be the chance. She won't have the chance to become a mother because of these garbage-ridden monsters. And people like Lori Lightfoot are the main ones why we're seeing an increase in hostility against the police. Look, I'm not saying you gotta like the police. I'm not saying that. You don't like them? Well, that's your problem. But it doesn't justify killing a police officer simply because, oh, I'm scared because I'm black and that's a police officer. And then you got people either looking the other way or defending these boys like that mother did. How are they supposed to respond? How about following the procedures? How about following the instructions from the police? What's wrong with that? Let me go on. Fraternal Order of Police President John Cananzara spoke about the officers during turning their backs to Lightfoot, saying the police officers' decision to turn their backs on the mayor while waiting with the family on the seventh floor was significant. Turning their backs on the mayor was an excellent example of how the hundreds of police officers felt waiting outside the hospital. NBC5 points out that Cananzara told Fox News that Lightfoot was told not to go to the seventh floor, as that was where the critically wounded officer's family was waiting for news from doctors. Lightfoot went anyway, leading Cananzara to believe the mayor still thought she knew best and went up there against the advice of the family. The president told her, don't go up there. Or she was told not to go up there, but she went anyway. And she got mud kicked in her eye. Them police officers don't want nothing to do with Lori Lightfoot. The Chicago Tribune reports that Lightfoot's office released a statement Monday addressing the officer's reaction to her by saying, in a time of tragedy, emotions run high, and that is to be expected. Oh, really? Basically, what she's saying is, let me let them calm down a bit. They'll come around. This is why I no longer want to demonize the police. I know they have a lot. They have a lot of bad to purge out of their ranks and whatever, but they are doing a job just like everybody else does. So the demonization for police officers is unnecessary. And I say it several times on this show, I've never really had a problem with police officers. Whenever I got pulled over, they never had their gun on their, they never had their hand on their gun. They never told me to get out the car. They told me, sir, you know your tags are expired. Sir, do you know how fast you were going? And I spoke to them very politely. I didn't cop an attitude with them. And in less than 10 minutes, I'm on my way. But we want to create this specter that, you know, the police are always after people of color, as if they know the color of the person when they pull them over. I'm pretty sure when a police officer, 9 times out of 10, when a police officer pulls somebody over, they're not doing it because of the color of their skin. They can't tell if you're white or black or whatever. They just know you're breaking the law. But this is what happens when you demoralize the police like this. And this is why we have a jump in crime like we have. But everybody wants to look the other way, though. Now, if one of those police officers, let's just say one of them boys copped an attitude with a police officer, and the police officer ended up killing one of them, everybody be on the streets right now, burning down businesses. Hey, Mr. Garding, how you doing? If Ella French and her partner had shot and killed one of them, they'd be all out on the street talking about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But where are the protests now? Where are they at? Where are they? But if one of them boys had been shot and killed, we'd be talking about businesses being burned down in Chicago. This is it. And folks, let me just lean off into this too. Let me bear off into this. This is a problem, and I know there are exceptions to the rule. So don't you all get up talking about, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. This is a problem with single mothers. It is too many times that we see incidents like this, and the only person that comes forward is the mother. You never see the fathers. Where's the father?
Well, I know single mothers, they done a good job.
Yeah, they're the exception to the rule. Let me tell you something. This ain't just a black thing. This is a white thing. This is an oriental thing. This is a Hispanic thing. Single mother households raise the risk to the children in those households. They don't do as well in school. A lot of them don't graduate. A lot of them turn to crime. And even though this affects all households, regardless of race, this is something you see predominantly in black neighborhoods. Crazy stuff. But we want to look the other way. We want to enable these mothers to be bad mothers. We want to continue giving them welfare and oozing their pains, easing their pains. When one of their little thug boys gets gunned down.
Oh, it's we're with you, okay.
Yeah, but no one's telling them you are a bad mother. That's why your boy turned to crime and he wanted to cop an attitude with a cop. And the cop had to sprinkle him with pepper. No one tells them that. And then they want to go, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. But you all don't care about black lives if someone gets killed in a drive-by shooting. The only time y'all care about a black life is when that black life is snuffed out by a white cop. That's the only time y'all care about black lives, because you all don't get up here. You all don't protest. Y'all don't do the nationwide vigils. When a six-year-old child gets gunned down because some stupid gang members wanted to fight it out on the street and they didn't care about the lives of you don't get out there. You don't see, folks, let me calm down. This is the type of stuff that ticks me off. Y'all don't care.
Yes, we do. Yes,
you don't show the same energy for a six-year-old black kid that gets gunned down by another black person as you would a 20-year-old thug who gets gunned down by a white cop. Just heard of a boy, I think a couple of days ago, 6 years old. I think his name was Nigel Brown, gunned down in Georgia, 6 years old. Where the protesters for him? And then you all want to sue these single moms. Oh, I know he was your baby. He was a good boy. No, he wasn't. He was a thug. Michael Brown, thug. Trayvon Martin, thug. George Floyd, thug. Now, I'm not saying that these people deserve to die. I'm not saying that one bit. But it was their lifestyles that led to them to have an encounter with the police. And as a result, they lost that encounter. But we want to sit here and blame the police. We want to blame the Derek Chauvins and the Darren Wilsons. But we don't tell these mothers, like my wife said earlier today, close your legs. You're having all these babies out of wedlock, no father in the house. We're not teaching these girls responsibility. Stop dressing to show your jiggle and your shake. We don't tell them that. We don't teach them responsibility. We don't teach them respect for authority. And then when that comes back and bites them in the rear end, we want to blame the cops. I'm just saying, people, we got our priorities mixed up. We're over here defending the criminals and demonizing the cops who are doing their job. Well, I don't like cops. I don't like, well, I'm sorry. You don't like them. But when they tell you to do something, you best do it. Now, if it's something against the law, now that's something different. Police officer tells you, sir, could you please step out of the car? Step out the doggone car. Don't sit there, why are you going to step out? Just step out the doggone car. This ain't no time for you to be stupid. Step out the car. What I do? Ain't nothing that you, the cop is following procedure. If he says get out the car, get out the car. It doesn't mean he's going to shoot you in the head. It doesn't mean he's going to beat the crap out of you. And if you do get the crap beat out of you, 9 times out of 10, you probably deserved it. Like I said, police are not 100% good guys. I'm not saying that. You're not going to find 100% good guys in any profession. But 9 times out of 10, if that police officer is telling you to get out the car, get out the doggone car. Well, I heard all these stories, and when people got out their car, the police beat the crap out of them. Well, stop watching the news media all the time, because they always trying to vilify the police officers all the time. That's probably why you don't like the police, because you're hearing the stories, but you don't hear the stories about cops saving lives or anything like that. All you hear about is cops beating black people. That's all you hear. That's all your brain has filtered you to hear. Let me go on, people. Before I go any further, this week I learned of a great tragedy. A friend of mine passed away. His name was Thomas Dwayne Smith. He was the host of a radio program on Blog Talk Radio called The Invisible Conservative. When I first started this program about 12 years ago, he was one of the first people to, you know, come in and support and whatever. And I learned, you know, I think it was Tuesday, that he had passed away. Someone came on my Facebook page and said, Vincent, you know Thomas? I said, yeah. He said, he's passed away. I said, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. Thomas was a great guy. He was a great radio show host. And he had suffered illness for a while. He had cerebral palsy. And for those of you all think people with cerebral palsy don't have great minds, Thomas had a very good mind. Matter of fact, I learned a lot of things from him. Thomas, if I'm correct, I don't even think he was 50 years old. He was in his 40s, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, you got to be kidding me, not Thomas. But I just wanted to dedicate this show to Thomas Dwayne Smith from Kansas City. And if you can, say a prayer for his loved ones, his friends, and those who were real close to him. I never got to meet him personally. I wish I could have. But Thomas was a great host. And he will be missed. He will be missed. He's been on this show a few times. Here recently, I think he really got real sick. And he passed away the other day. And you might not know him, or you might know him or whatever, but just say a prayer for his family and friends, Thomas Dwayne Smith. But anyway, let me go on. I meant to do that at the beginning of the show, but like I said, at the beginning of the show, I had some technical difficulties, and I just jumped right into it, you know. But anyway, let me go on here, and let's see where. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Now, folks, now, now, we live in a crazy mixed up world where people will point out something that someone else is doing wrong, but when they're caught in that same wrong, they choose to ignore it. It's called hypocrisy. Saying something is wrong, but you really don't mean it. Well, here is a good example of hypocrisy. And this comes, I believe, out of, is it Atlanta, Georgia? But anyway, let me read the article. Once again, this is at Breitbart. And if you want to know, if you want to know where I get these articles from and everything, I posted the links in my show's description, and you can check them out for yourself. Right here it says, woman fights school district after black principal separated classes based on race. Let me read that again. Woman fights school district after black principal separated classes, excuse me, based on race. Now, the woman who's fighting the school district, she's a black woman. She's probably what a lot of you guys in the apostles of blackness call a coon. Black woman. A woman has filed a federal complaint with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights after she learned last year that the black principal of Mary Lynn Elementary School in Atlanta has separated students into classrooms based on their race. Oh, yeah, those are good sources. Those are real good sources. Breitbart, Epoch Times, Western Journal, One America News. I never heard of America's Voice. I need to check that one out, though. Yeah. She has filed a – this is a black woman. But, of course, those of you all in the Apostles of Blackness, she's a coon. She's a token. She's a sellout. First, it was just disbelief that I was having this conversation in 2020 with a person that looks just like me, a black woman. Kyla Posey said in a WSB TV report on the development, it's segregating classrooms. You cannot segregate classrooms. You can't do it. We've lost sleep trying to figure out why would a person do this, Posey said. Yeah, why would you? Now, see, if it was the other way around, we'd be talking about Black Lives Matter and, oh, y'all trying to resegregate us and everything. But, oh, this is a black woman, the principal, that is, so it's all right. I didn't hear about this story on any of the major news networks. The only place that I heard about it was like Newsmax here on Breitbart, places like that. That's the only place you're going to hear about this. You're not going to hear about it on CBS, NBC, or anything like that. News of the development was posted on Twitter, but the school's account no longer exists. I wonder why. Let me go on. They got a couple of screenshots of the Twitter. I'm gonna skip those. Kyla Posey, we should be calling this woman a hero. Principal Sharon Briscoe says she put the practice in place because she thought it was best for all students, according to WSB TV, which interviewed Posey about the complaint. Now, back in Jim Crow, when we had the segregation, I can guarantee you that people like George Wallace, they separated black folks from white folks because they believed it was best for the students. But, oh, this black woman wants to say the same thing. But, no, you know, she's all right. She's all right, yeah. You see what I'm talking about, people? It's wrong for you to do it, but if I do it, it's okay. And when people start talking, when people start saying this nonsense about black people can't be racist, temptation doesn't get the better of me, but sometimes I'm just tempted to wrap someone in their lip when they say that. Because when it comes to racism, black folks, keep in mind that you play a part in the statistics of racism in this country as well. It's not just white folks. It's black folks as well. Posey said she found out the school was putting black students in two separate classes with two separate teachers. The white kids were placed in six classes with six different teachers. Posey said she found this out when she let Briscoe know she wanted her child placed in the classroom of a teacher she thought would be a good fit. Posey said the principal told her that wouldn't work. Posey recounted the incident of her discovery of the segregation. She said, that's not one of the black classes. And I immediately said, what does that mean? I was confused. I asked for more clarification. I was like, we have those in the school? And she proceeded to say, yes, I have decided that I'm going to place all of the black students in two classes. Let that have been a white principal done that. Let that have been a white principal that done that. She'll have protesters in front of her house, people throwing bricks through her windows. But yet and still, those of us with this liberal mindset, we turn the other way, or we bury our proverbial heads in the sand. But let this have been a white principal that had done that. We wouldn't hear the end of it. We'll probably hear cries for the school to be closed down. Oh, but because it's one of our own doing it, oh, it's okay. But folks like myself, when we point this out, we get called coons and Uncle Toms and Uncle Ruckus and all that stupid mess. Posey's attorney, Sharice Shields, said the segregation at the school violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Wow, you can do that? Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 says that you cannot treat one group of people differently based upon race, and that is what is going on at Mary Lynn, Shields said. See, racism goes both ways. It doesn't swing one way. Racism goes both ways. If you're going to call on the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because of discrimination against black students, you can call upon that same act for discrimination against white students. It goes both ways. The district did not say what actions it took, the television station reported. I wonder why. They probably don't want to, rock the boat or cause any waves. Posey said the action she wants to see is for the principal and her administration to be fired. Homegirl's going out. She going for the jugular. Posey is still waiting to hear from the Department of Education. Well, I would tell Posey, don't hold your breath, because in situations like this, they'll probably come up with some excuse. Maybe slap the principal on the hand and say, don't you do that anymore. But let it have been a white principal. Let it have been a white principal. Torches and pitchforks. This is the type of hypocrisy that is overrunning this country. We have a sharp focus when the acts are against us, but when it's against someone else, we turn a blind eye. And folks, segregation is segregation. Segregation is segregation. And I can probably guarantee you what the principal was thinking. Oh, these black kids, we got so many white teachers in here, but the black kids, they need a teacher that looks like them. So they need someone that they need a black teacher over them. No, they need a good teacher over them. Let me tell you, when I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, some of the teachers that spoke the most glowingly about me, and I'm not saying I was a great student or anything, but the teachers that spoke the best about me were the white ones. Some of them, like if I made a bad grade or something like that, they'd be like, Vincent, I don't understand. I know you're better than this. Don't get me wrong. I had some black teachers that, you know, they were encouraging too, but most of the time it was the white teachers. And I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. I was born at the tail end of Jim Crow. I remember nursery school. Had a white teacher named Miss Bell. Thought the world of me. When I left daycare and went to elementary school, all these teachers knew me. And I wasn't even in their class. Hey, Vincent, how you doing? These people know me. I'm not even in their class. No, black kids don't need black teachers. They need good teachers. Because I can guarantee you, when you get these black kids separated off with these black teachers, all they're going to learn is critical race theory. That's all they're going to learn. That's all they're going to learn. Y'all got us, them white people, they don't care about us. Is this what Martin Luther King Jr. fought for when he marched up and down the streets, having his life threatened, attempts on his life, and ultimately one attempt was successful? Is this what he fought for? Oh, yeah, the white people, they wanted us segregated, so when we get a little bit more freedom, we'll do the same thing to them. Is that how justice works? And a lot of you all who are black, you call yourselves Christians, y'all turn a blind eye too. You're supposed to be, if you call yourself a Christian, you're supposed to be standing up for justice more than anybody. But y'all turn a blind eye too. Yeah, them white people, yeah, they do this and they do that. Don't call yourself a Christian. Matter of fact, if you call yourself a Christian and you agree with this critical race theory garbage, don't come over and talking about, let me lay my hands on you to pray. No, I don't want you to pray for me because you are a phony. The words I want to use are stronger, but I don't use that language anymore. Get out of my face. Don't come here. When you're in your private time, don't even let my name come across your lips. Pray for me. Because I can see you hopping all around the sanctuary of your church, talking about thank you, Jesus, praise you, Lord. And then you support people like this school principal. You support critical race theory. You always want to talk about the white folks, what the white folks are doing, and white privilege and Black Lives Matter. Nah, I don't want you praying for me. Don't you dare think, don't even think about me when you're praying. Because I don't want the resulting headache. Anyway. Amen to that. Yeah. Let me go on to my next story. Oh boy, I tell you, you know, sometimes when these stories, they just come up. It gets so easy to do a show now. And the hard part about it is trying to fit all this into one show. Because I basically want to stay current. But you all know Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get to the chopper. Y'all know Arnold Schwarzenegger? He was real big in the 80s and the 90s. He was a man's man, you know, got all the muscles and everything. He came to the United States from Austria at the age of 21. I think he came, that was the same year I was born when he came here, 1968. And he said he wanted to come to the United States because of the freedom that we enjoy over here. Sometime later, he ends up becoming governor of California, all that, you know, he's living the dream. Now, you all know we're going through this pandemic, and I say that word very lightly because a lot of people, you know, I think this pandemic mess has gone too far, to be honest with you. They're trying to tell people you need to get vaccinated. You better get vaccinated. You don't care. You call yourself a Christian. You don't want to get vaccinated. You don't care about people. It's all about love and all. Man, shut up. And now they're saying that, you know, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Nah, it's a pandemic of a communist regime that kept their mouths quiet about it, getting out. And now it's done got out. But it's too late. It's already gone around the world. And now people who don't want to get vaccinated, they're being called terrorists. They're being given the terrorist label. You're a bunch of terrorists if you don't get this vaccination. Now, the funny thing about this to me is they're telling those of us who are American citizens, we need to get a vaccination. We need to get the vaccination. Step up and do your duty. Get vaccinated. But we got thousands of people coming in through our borders and none of them are being checked. None of them being checked. They're being put in enclosed. They're being put in trailers and prisons and whatever it is. I'm at a loss of words right now. But these people are being put in cramped conditions, none of them being tested, and all they do is process them and send them off somewhere. They don't even check them for COVID. And at least 20%, and I say at least because I really do believe it's more than 20% of them who are coming into this country who are positive for COVID. But nobody's testing them, but they're telling the rest of us we need to get vaccinated. Nobody says anything about that. Once again, we look the other way, and you got people, yeah, wear your mask, wear your mask. Did you get vaccinated? Yeah, I got vaccinated. Then, well, why does it concern you whether I wear a mask or not? People not even using their common sense. They're letting their feelings dictate to them how to respond. They're not using common sense. They don't bypass common sense and went straight to their feelings. Yeah, I'm a terrorist with you. But it says here, now Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you're a schmuck for not wearing a mask. Screw your freedom. Well, you're a schmuck for not wearing a mask. Screw your freedom. Get to the chopper. COVID virus is coming. Everybody get down. Yeah. He said, screw your freedom. Screw your freedom. Rascal, you're not even a natural born citizen. You were engrafted.
into the culture of this country. You came here from another country, and you're going to tell us to screw our freedom as if you know what this freedom is about? Arnold Schwarzenegger said, "You're a schmuck if you don't wear a mask," just days after photos and videos show prominent Democrats, from Barack Obama to Representative Rashida Tlaib and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, partying indoors maskless. We're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about that, too. I'm just chomping at the bit to talk about that. You cannot go and put the mask on because when you breathe, you can infect someone else. And you can infect someone that then gets sick and may die, the Terminator star and former governor of California said during a discussion with CNN's Bianca Golodryga and Alexander Vindman. So this is why I think we all have to work together on this. The only way we can kick this virus is, again, if we do, like I suggested earlier about politics, you have to come together rather than fighting and always just saying, this is according to my principles. This is a free country, and I'm going to have the freedom to wear no mask. Schwarzenegger continued and said, you had the freedom to wear no mask, but you know something? You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask, before adding, I don't want to villainize anyone. Oh, boy, I tell you, you know, the stupidity that is just prevalent in this country and people just, they just look the other way. You ever heard that term, the elephant in the room? You know why that term comes around? You know, elephant in the room, elephants are pretty big, which means you can notice it. And the only way you don't notice the elephant is if you ignore the elephant. But anyway, let me get here. My goodness, an hour went by so fast. Let me get these advertisements up and running, and when I'm done, I will see you guys on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian Reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you'd like to call in, call in number call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And before we left, I was talking about what Arnold Schwarzenegger was saying about screw your freedom. You know, you better wear the mask. You wear the mask. The coronavirus is going to get us all. I can't do his voice too well. But this is the thing that gets me to right here. It's like they're saying the rules are for you, but they're not for me. We're your lords. We're your gods. So you need to listen to what we tell you to do. Don't worry about if we do it. Do as I say, not as I do. Now this leads me to another story. I don't know if anyone has heard this story, though. I just heard this one this morning. I already knew about Barack Obama and his 60th birthday, and he said he scaled it down, but he still had hundreds of people there, 200 servants. They were out there without their masks and everything. They were all getting up with one another. None of them had on a mask. And then some lady, she gets up talking about, oh, this was a sophisticated crowd. They had their vaccinations. Yeah, but you're telling the rest of us when we get our vaccinations, we should be wearing a mask. But Obama gets up here, has his birthday bash. And folks, I have no problem with him having a birthday bash. Really, I don't. The problem I have is with the hypocrisy. These are the very same people. Nancy Pelosi was there. These are the very same people that tell you you need to be wearing a mask. But, oh, they can have themselves a birthday bash and they don't have to wear a mask. And nobody calls them super spreaders. Let Donald Trump have a rally without people wearing a mask. Oh, super spreader, super spreader. Super spreader. What do you call this event at Martha's Vineyard? But lo and behold, seems like consequences coming out. Of course, the mainstream media is not going to talk about this. Let me go to Breitbart again. Obama variant. Martha's Vineyard. Hit with coronavirus spike after super spreader birthday party. You're a character, Mr. Garney. You're a character. It was a huge super spreader event. Now let me read that title to you again. Obama variant, Martha's Vineyard, hit with coronavirus spike after super spreader birthday party. I wonder how that happened. Nah, that's just an anomaly. Nah. And you didn't hear this. You're not going to hear this on mainstream media. Matter of fact, I was just going through articles today, and I came across it. I said, wait a minute, what? Are you serious? How come we didn't hear this on CBS or NBC or any rest of them? But let me get to reading it. The island of Martha's Vineyard experienced a spike in coronavirus cases this week at the President Barack Obama's 60th birthday party last Saturday. The Daily Mail reports that 74 people on Martha's Vineyard have tested positive for the virus, the highest number of cases in a week on the island since April. Hundreds of people attended the former president's 60th birthday party at the Obama mansion on Martha's Vineyard, including a swarm of A-list celebrities. The guest list included Beyonce, Jay-Z, Tom Hanks, her, I don't know who her is, John Legend, and Alicia Keys. Photos of the party show many of the guests without masks, mingling, drinking, and dancing in close quarters. The Tisbury Boards of Health spokesperson Mara Valley told the Daily Mail it was a little too early to know whether the boost in cases was a direct result of Obama's birthday party, but cases continued to rise following the event. Oh, yeah, they're reluctant to say if it had a result, if that was a result of the birthday party. But let it have been Trump had done that. Trump, yeah, it was a super spreader event. Trump's the reason why. He didn't wear a mask. Prior to the party, Obama and his staff tried to claim the event would be scaled back with just close family and friends as a result of the spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus, but it was still a big party with 300 to 400 people attending. The Daily Mail also reported that six staffers now tested positive at the Harborview Hotel where some of the celebrities attending the party stayed. You're not going to hear about this on CNN or MSNBC or NBC, ABC, CBS. You're not going to hear about this. Because Barack Obama is royalty. He's a god. The news media is infatuated over him and Michelle. So you're not going to hear this from them. But let it have been Trump. And we'd probably be going all year about this. You know they already blamed Trump for the incidence of corona in this country in the first place. And Trump does not bear any fault for the coronavirus being in the United States. Not one. Oh man! Now see, Robert, you get ahead of me because I'm gonna talk about that too. About Afghanistan. But you all see what I'm talking about? We'll sit there. We'll howl at the moon about Trump having a rally. And call it a super spreader event. Matter of fact, they said when Herman Cain died last year, he died of the coronavirus. It was because he was at one of these super spreader events. Well, howl at the moon about that. But Barack Obama, and folks, I'm not saying he shouldn't have had a party. I'm not saying that at all. Happy 60th, Barack Obama. Hope you have many more. I'm not saying he shouldn't have had a party. I'm just saying if someone else who the mainstream media does not like had a party, they would have been all over it. It would have been the biggest news story ever. And this was just Barack Obama thumbing his noses at the rest of us because he knows he can do this. That's why they do this stuff, because they know the media is not going to cover it. The media's got their backs. These were sophisticated people that had gotten their vaccinations, but yet and still, see, this is what ticks me off. They think we're stupid. You tell the rest of us, and I see the commercials and everything, even if you got a vaccination, you still need to wear a mask. How come they weren't wearing a mask? Oh, it's because the God Barack Obama was there, you know. He lays his hands on the sick and they are healed. He walks on water. He can part the Red Sea. This is a crazy mess, y'all. This is crazy. They'll let Barack Obama have a party, but don't you have one. Celebrate your 60th birthday if you want to. Y'all don't care about the virus. And I'm so sick and tired of people talking about, oh, we need a quarantine. No, we don't. That's why two people I'm admiring, in admiration of right now, Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis, made me want to move to either Florida or Texas because they seem to act like they got some sense. Now, if this is the case about the Delta variant, you know, I heard about the Lambda variant. I heard there's another variant coming out. We're going to be on lockdown for the rest of our lives. Every time we look up, got to get a vaccination? Yeah, do that. Do that, Mr. Garding. You go ahead. But is this what's going to happen for the rest of our lives? Every time we look up, oh, it's another variant, get your vaccination. On my job, they mandated that I get a vaccination by September the 21st. Or I could lose my job. But yet and still, you get people coming in to this, coming across the border, undocumented. They're not being tested for the COVID. And they estimate at least 20 people, at least 20% of the people coming across our borders are sick with COVID, but they're not testing them. And they put them in cramped conditions, hundreds of them in one location, no social distancing, no masks. But they process them, put them on a bus, and ship them to somewhere around the country. This is what you call controlling. You're not going to sit there and tell me that the government is doing this because they care about the health of the people. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. No, they don't. Because if you cared about the health of the people, you would be diagnosing those people coming across the border. Your birthday is September 22nd, Robert. My dad's birthday is September 21st. You ever heard that song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire? It talks about the 21st night of September. My dad was born on September 21st. He'll be 73. He'll be 73 years old. But this is what we're up against in this country right now, trying to wear down our freedoms. You get the governor talking about screw your freedom. Certain factions out there will label you a terrorist because you didn't get your vaccination. And folks, before I go on, I am not an anti-vaxxer. Let me say that again. I am not an anti-vaxxer. And people can sit there and call me that all you want to. If you got the vaccine, good for you. If you feel like you need to get the vaccine, go ahead and get it. But if a person makes a decision that they think is best for them not to get it, then you shouldn't be forcing them to do it. That's the thing that ticks me off about it. Not the safety of the vaccine. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is last December, I caught COVID, which means my body has built up immunity to it. And I don't believe that I need a shot. You got reports coming out of the Cleveland Clinic, one of the most respected clinics in this country, saying that those who have caught COVID, the vaccine will do no good for them. But people choose to ignore it. Let's listen to Dr. Fauci. Well, you don't need a mask. Okay, you need a mask. Okay, you need two masks. You need 20 masks, 2,000 masks. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Someone needs to fire that rascal. Don't even know what he's talking about. But everyone wants to sing the praises of Dr. Fauci. Yes, oh, great Dr. Fauci. Oh, yes. Man don't even know what he's talking about. Anyway, let me go on. I can stay on this all day, but I wanted to get these articles out the way. especially, let's see, let me get, nope, that's not the one, that's not the one. Oh, yeah, Mr. Bite Me. Mr. Joe Biden. Now, y'all voted for him. I didn't. Y'all voted for him. And really, I don't think he won the election, but I digress. But Joe Biden is turning out to be a major embarrassment for this country. He is a major embarrassment for this country. Did you see him begging the Taliban to ensure the safety of Americans in the American embassy in Afghanistan? Over there begging them, please don't hurt the people over there. Please let them get out safely. They're the Taliban. They don't care about that mess. They're a bunch of terrorists. And by the way, Mr. Biden, if you had handled an exit strategy a little bit better for the soldiers to get out of Afghanistan, we wouldn't have to be dealing with this. The Taliban, they're getting our weapons. They're strengthening their fortifying their positions. They said Kabul should be overtaken by the Taliban within 6 months. I think it'll be less time than that. But this is how the terrorists gained ground when Barack Obama was in office. Sloppy withdrawal, and then they come in. Okay, good. We'll just take over. And now the Taliban is strengthening their numbers, and Mr. Joe Biden is sitting there begging them, make sure our people make it out safely. Please, I'll give you a cookie. And not only that, now folks, you can't make this stuff up, man. I'm telling you, you can't make this up. He's actually begging OPEC, the conglomerate of Arabian nations, he's begging them to increase their oil production. Now, I don't know if Joe Biden is doing this deliberately or if he's just plain stupid. The soil is rich, but the grass ain't growing. He shut down the XL pipeline as soon as he got into office, fired several workers from good, high-paying jobs. It was keeping our gas prices low. Shuts it down. Gas prices shoot up. A lot of places, they haven't come back down since they've been up either. Trust me. I live in Durham, North Carolina. A lot of our gas prices have not gone down since January. Our gas prices shoot up, and he's begging OPEC, countries that don't even like us, begging them, please. I'll be your friend. I'll give you a cookie. Joe Biden is an embarrassment. Yeah, and I don't like to say that about the person that sits in the White House, but Joe Biden is he's probably the stupidest president we ever had in our life. Which is why it's no surprise to me that he has Kamala Harris as his running mate, because she's the stupidest vice president we've ever had. I don't like saying that about our elected officials. I really don't. But this is utter stupidity. You shut down the pipelines. We are sitting on probably the largest gas reserve in the entire world. We can be energy independent. Matter of fact, we were going that way when Trump was in office. But all Joe Biden cared about was getting rid of every policy enacted by Donald Trump. That's all he cared about. He didn't care about the results or anything. And then when the results start to show themselves, they want to blame Donald Trump for it. No, this happened on your watch, Joe. And you're going to sit there and beg OPEC, please increase your oil for us. We need the gas. No. These guys are wild citizens. Death to America. I mean, yeah. Mr. Garding, he says he doesn't like to speak out against them either. But when they prove it, there isn't much against it. Yeah, it isn't. It ain't much against it. Joe Biden is an embarrassment. I mean, really. He has barely been in office for 6 months, for half a year, and he is already proving that he is the worst president ever. And we got 3.5 more years of this. Folks, if we don't need prayer today for this country, I don't know when we're going to need it. This is crazy mess, people. This is so crazy. You shut down a pipeline that was helping us to be energy independent. You shut it down. And now, while I'm off on this too, let me just say this. Now, a lot of people want the pipeline shut down because, oh, it's going to affect the environment. It's going to destroy the polar bears and the otters and the little grizzly bears and the squirrels and the birds. Okay. So why you all think it's all right for us to ruin someone else's environment? You're talking about the environment here. What about over there? You see why we need critical thinking skills? You so concerned about, oh, it's going to kill the polar bears and it's going to kill the seals and the killer whales and the salmon won't be able to do their salmon runs and all that and everything. But you think it's all right for somebody else to ruin their environment so you can get their oil from overseas. What's wrong with getting the oil here? We got it right here, sitting right here, home turf. But you want to go overseas to get the oil. I don't understand that. I don't even know why. I don't understand why they want to go overseas and get that oil overseas when we're sitting on the largest oil reserve in the world. This is a crazy mess, people. And I'm going to do one last article before I get to the phones. Oh my goodness, look at this. I'm gonna do this last article and I'm gonna go to the phones. Loudoun County teacher resigns over district's highly politicized critical race theory agendas. I'm somewhat familiar with Loudoun County. It's right outside of D.C. I grew up in the D.C. area. That's where I went to school, daycare, elementary school, junior high, middle school, high school. Graduated from Friendly Senior High School in Prince George's County, Maryland in 1986. And I came down here to Durham, North Carolina. Now you can understand why I live in Durham, North Carolina. But this teacher resigns over the highly politicized critical race theory agenda. And basically, and not to put too fine a point on it, all critical race theory is saying is that white people are bad. They enslave black people. White people are bad, and we need to keep on reminding them about it. That's all that critical race theory is. A teacher of Loudoun County public schools in Virginia resigned during a school board meeting over the district's critical race theory training program, which she says labeled her an oppressor due to her skin color and is pushing highly politicized agendas onto the county's most vulnerable constituents, the children. Within the last year, I was in one of my so-called equity trainings that white, Christian, able-bodied females currently have the power in our schools and that this has to change, teacher Laura Moore said during Tuesday's Loudoun County School Board meeting. Clearly, you've made your point, Moore's continued. You no longer value me or many other teachers you've employed in this county. So since my contract outlines the power that you have over my employment in Loudoun County Public Schools, I thought it necessary to resign in front of you. School board, I quit. The teacher affirmed, I quit your policies, I quit your training, and I quit being a cog in a machine that tells me to push highly politicized agendas to our most vulnerable constituents, the children. I will find employment elsewhere. I encourage all parents and staff in this county to flood the private schools, she added. During her remarks, Morris also pointed out the school board's lack of consideration for the growing population of concerned citizens in this division, clearly evidenced by this empty room tonight where you shut the doors to the public. Morris also alleged that the Loudoun County superintendent told her last year that expressing a dissenting opinion is not allowed. The teacher added that the superintendent went as far as to send a form to my colleagues and I, encouraging us to fill it out if we hear one another speaking against the controversial policies being promoted by the school board. LCPS has become somewhat of a natural spectacle in recent months as concerned parents rallied to recall the school board members pushing critical race theory, an academic movement teaching children that the U.S. is fundamentally racist and they must view every social interaction and person in terms of race in order to be in order to be anti-racist. I'll stop right there. Loudoun County has been getting the worst of it lately because of this critical race theory garbage. But they're going to lose a lot of good teachers. And not just in Loudoun County, but around the country because of this critical race garbage. And basically, critical race theory is basically telling the white teacher, saying, yes, I am your oppressor. I am your oppressor. And I do not like you because you are black. That's what it's telling them to say to their students, basically. Critical race theory does not belong in our schools. We shouldn't be shoving this down the throats of our children. What's wrong with just teaching history? I know America has a checkered past. We all know that. No one's denying that. No one's turning the other way. But we're not going through that now. And what is this thing about white Christian people anyway? A true Christian doesn't look down on somebody else of another race. So I don't know where y'all get this white Christian thing from anyway. Not unless you just trying to show your hatred for Christians too. It wasn't white Christians that kidnapped black people from Africa. It wasn't white Christians that separated black folks from the white folks during Jim Crow. That wasn't white Christianity. Christianity doesn't have a color. Christianity doesn't care if you're black, white, oriental, red, candy stripe, whatever. Christianity has nothing to do with a person's race. I actually had someone tell me that it was impossible for a black person to be a Christian. I said, well, you a lie because I'm a Christian. Man, I tell you. Folks, this country needs some serious prayer. And I think I need some prayers now because I think I hear some fruit bats flying around.
Hello?
If you're coming on here to disrupt this show in any kind of way, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, random insults, I'm going to tell you right now, you best hang up because I will do it for you. You will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. Anyway, let me get this caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Look here, brother. The biggest danger to your show is not fruit bats. The problem you're going to have, as I do, is that you are living in too target-rich environment, and it breeds confusion as to what to shoot at first. That's the biggest threat you got. Man, look. I am so glad that you went over this article about this Atlanta teacher. You know, I mean, it was really beautiful. Now, you know, it brought to mind a famous quote by a guy not too long ago, and I want to see if you can remember this when I put it before you. I'm sure you will. In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
All right, George Wallace, you're going to have to get off of my program, George Wallace.
Now, given the fact we got this black Atlanta supervisor, according to the Atlanta public school system, she done gone rogue and to set up her own segregated class in the school. I guess because she a woke-topian. You know, these woke-topians come up with most bizarre concepts these days. But anyway, and by the way, they don't seem to be advocating any really stern measures against her other than to say, well, we don't approve of this. You know, I say, well, when are you going to fire? I ain't even heard nothing yet. And I'd like to remind you that the Atlanta school system back in 2013, a Fulton grand jury indicted 35 educators from the Atlanta Public Schools District, and more than 20 of them took a plea deal for cheating scandal. Remember the cheating scandal right down here in Georgia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember
that.
They
can't educate the children, but they can segregate them and teach them a lot of nonsense. Mm. Not educated, just indoctrinate them. That's all they know how to do. And, man, and look.
Yeah.
You know, with a related story, Tucker Carlson last night came up with these woke-topian liberal contributors on MSNBC and CNN and other places, where else, that are actually celebrating this report coming out that now white people are only 60% of the population. And they're saying it's a good thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we know what's impelling this. Yeah, go ahead, man.
You know what? I should have put that on dock for the show today too, because I remember I saw that. I said, oh, they celebrating that. Yeah, they said, oh, we're more diverse now. Oh, yes, the white population is shrinking, so that means we're more diverse. Yeah.
Oh, no,
okay.
No. That,
all
it's
right.
More than that. If that was all they were saying, it might not be quite as bad. No, they're saying it's a good thing because now they can literally replace white people as the ruling class. They literally put it that way. The ruling class, not the governing class, the ruling class. I mean, and in fact, they were talking exactly using the exact same terms that the ANC used when they took over in South Africa.
Yeah.
They're going to say that.
Certainly
now, see, here's what people don't seem to understand. And I know in the midst of celebration parallax, and I don't know if you're familiar with the term, but I think that's the term we're going to have to all become a lot more familiar with in the future. But in the midst of their doing their little celebration parallax, what they're failing to realize is that the worst sort of wars, for whatever reason they occur, are civil wars, and the worst sort of civil wars are racial civil wars, for however and for whatever reason they occur. We know that the reason we're looking at what we're looking today is because of the initial impetus of the Hart-Celler Bill that they passed in 1965. And remember, one of the premier liars of his time, Ted Kennedy, got there and said this. This is what he said when he was advocating for the bill. He was one of the principal sponsors of the bill. Ted Kennedy says, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same under the proposed bill. Secondly, the ethnic mix will not be upset. Contrary to charges in some quarters, it will not inundate America with immigrants from any one country or area. Then he went on to suggest that at most 62,000 people a year might immigrate. And when Johnson signed the bill into law, he also said, this bill we signed today is not a revolutionary bill. It does not affect the lives of millions. It will not reshape the structure of our daily lives. We just had 212,000 illegal aliens apprehended at the border in July alone.
Yeah.
The numbers in April, or rather March, were higher than in any month prior to the numbers in April. The numbers in April were higher than any month previously to the numbers in May. The numbers in May were higher than any previous point until the numbers in June came out. And the numbers in June were higher than any point until the numbers in July came out. And they're getting worse and worse. And all this while Border Patrol agents are telling us, we've got the Border Patrol agents and others, and the Department of Homeland Security document that was leaked, say that out of the people they're allowing into the country, and that is unaccompanied minors and family units, 1 in 5, 20%, test positive for COVID-19, right in the middle of the time though they tell us that nothing is a greater threat to us than COVID-19, which in fact warrants all manners of near martial law remedies in order to correct. At the same time, if you're an American citizen coming back into the country on your passport, an American citizen, mind you, natural born, naturalized, however, 14th Amendment, like Kamala Harris, whatever kind you are, when you come back into the country, you've got to be quarantined if you test positive for COVID. In the meantime, we've got 7,000 in one town alone, and many of them are testing positive for COVID, no mask, no van scheme, put on airplanes without any travel restrictions, and ship God knows where all over the country. Man, it is beyond belief. And then they're saying, when people point out this replacement theory, that they say, oh, it's only the province of racists, only white supremacists talk like that. Now they're celebrating it again, the celebration parallax. I'm telling you, man, this is not going to bode well for black people, because if white people get a cold, then black people get pneumonia. It's always been the case, ain't it? These people are crazy, man. They're sick. I don't know. I mean, they're actually suffering. In fact, the white population has gone down because, I don't know, 400,000 or so white people are victims of opioid overdoses since 1997. 400,000. 400,000. Do you hear what I said, Vince? 400,000.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And then where's the stuff coming? That's from across the border. And impelled by the red Chinese who make the precursor ingredients.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. If you ain't making so much sense right now, I'm telling you. Let me get this another. Let me get this next caller on. Hello, caller. Welcome
back
to the show.
Fruitback reporting.
What are you trying to
disrupt? Oh, you're
fruit
bat? We
know you
okay,
ain't a fruit bat.
I gotta shoot my fruit bat.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You see what a judge told that young black man? He's gonna put him on probation. Said that getting the COVID shot is a condition of the probation.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, but where's all the people? Where's the NAACP? It's likened to the Tuskegee experiment.
They're probably still partying with Obama.
That's likened to the Tuskegee incident. Then, over in Oregon, they're talking about eliminating math and reading out of the schools because they're racist. Those two subjects.
Are you serious?
Well, actually, they're saying that they're going to eliminate testing standards for proficiency because it's racist.
Wow.
When you look at some
of
these
blacks...
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in other words, we just lowered the standards. So because we black people, we can never meet the standards of the white people because their standards are too high.
Well, they've been doing that. When you go to take the SAT for a private institution, you as a black student is already spotted 310 points. 310
wow.
points. You, the Asian student, start off with a minus 140.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That is
ain't that
crazy.
Something else?
That is, man, now, if that ain't racist, I don't know what is.
Oh, shit, a whole lot of racist stuff going on that could be called. You just can't keep up with it all.
It's just coming out the woodworks, man. Let me get this last caller on here. Let me get him.
We got Sheriff Fu, somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, spread the wealth around. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, this is unfortunate for you. This is another fruit bat on there. So I'm just going to join the fruit bat party on the radio show. And
have a whole flock of them.
I'm just going to people. Right. You know. But just want to listen to your show and just enjoying it. And they're talking about the guy that the judge made a condition of that. I remember seeing that. So they're talking about a lot of companies, by the way. If you don't get that mandate on these jobs for the get a stop, they're gonna penalize you. They might even fire you, suspend you, or whatever. So
yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
what's gonna happen next, but nothing surprises me. But anyway, I'm just gonna listen to the rest of the show. Hello to everybody in Radio Land and also in the chat room.
People should use their religious exemption. Get that form, follow directions on it, have it notarized, assigned by a pastor, and that's it. They used to require you to take yellow fever shots when you go overseas. Of course, you know, a lot of people, especially blacks, wouldn't do it, and they just got those religious exemption forms, put that in your passport, and gone by your business.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that myself, you know. Because this is just a precursor to communism, really. You know, I mean, you got these people coming in over our border. They're not even being checked or whatever for COVID-19. But the rest of us, we got to wear a mask. And then you had Barack Obama having his shindig last Saturday. Nobody wearing a mask and everything, and then this lady comes up talking about, oh, these were sophisticated people. They got vaccinated. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, but you're telling the rest of us who are vaccinated, we got to wear a mask. We still got a social distance. I said, and the reason why they do this, like I said before, is because our lapdog news media keeps on backing them up, keeps looking out for them, keeps speaking up for them. Oh, no, nah, it's not like that. It's not. No, they're people.
Well, you know,
like
all last year, they were denigrating Donald Trump, saying he was responsible for 300,000 people becoming a case. Well, hell,
yeah.
Joe Biden is double that, and nobody say anything about him. And my goodness,
no.
Did he plead to the Taliban not to damage the U.S. embassy while we gone? Did he put that plea out there?
Yes, he did. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't know how anybody can take these clowns seriously after seeing what they're doing on the border. Literally, and I mean literally. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. This is literally what they're doing. They're importing COVID into the United States in the greatest super spreader COVID event in the history of this pandemic. Why would you take them seriously about anything? They're not serious.
Really?
They're about control. They're not about doing anything with this pandemic. Not at all.
Well, it ain't nothing you can do with it. It'll come and go away. The only reason why that's in the news is because of Donald Trump and his election. That's the only reason. Any other time
that's
it would come
reason.
And go just
exactly.
like anything else. I ain't never took a vaccine except for maybe one in my life when I was in elementary school. It don't tend to. And look at all the different variants of influenza. I never took an influenza shot neither.
I know. I understand.
Yeah.
People
I had a widespread deal with vaccines was, Chicago Public Schools, they had some vaccines were mandatory. I don't recall what they were. And, of course, in the Army, the ones that were proven now, they weren't experimental vaccines. They were long established to be accepted and proven by the government. They could order you to take the vaccine, and I had to take them to go when I went in the Army. But beyond that, I'm not taking the booster. I've already taken the two Moderna shots. I ain't taking no more shots. I refuse. Now it's become a matter of principle.
Now
exactly. You got that damn Governor Pritchard in Illinois and got the legislature to pass a law to protect immigrants from being exported out of the state of Illinois. Deported, should I say. What kind of crazy mess is that?
See,
Latinos getting ready to take over Chicago. Them blacks in Chicago and they damn foolish acting. They have that city, ain't done nothing. Nothing with it. Just like Detroit. Bill Clinton at a Clinton Economic Foundation forum stated, and you can see it on YouTube, listen to it on YouTube, that Detroit should be developed by Syrian refugees. Obama has stated it. Hillary Clinton has stated it. Detroit's got over 600,000 black folks. Ain't heard a word.
Nope.
Lord have mercy. It's sick. It's beyond sick.
Yeah.
Ain't heard a word.
Yeah,
only thing you hear is some people hollering about that they got a white mayor. Well, goddamn. Don't, you see, you want blacks to go register to vote. All right. But you want to tell them how to vote. If they want to elect a white mayor, that's their damn business. Leave them alone.
Detroit should be developed by the best qualified who can do it at the best price. Whether the Syrians or black people or whatever. But the one thing we don't need anybody in government doing is advocating that a particular ethnic group ought to do it. I don't care what the ethnic or who the ethnic group is.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, all it is a bunch of guys, they're just throwing their weight around. And that me, I think they're doing it because they can. You know, they just, who's going to say anything? You know, we got our lap dogs. They speaking up for us. So, you know, who's going to hold us accountable? We're not accountable to anyone, but you all are accountable to us.
And then you got these fools talking about air pollution. Well, hell, all the blacks being shot by other blacks, that gun smoke's got to be polluting the air.
I mean, for real. Yeah, won't we?
You
don't
have over 1,331 in the last 69 days with 180 murdered. That's got to be producing some damn air pollution.
Oh, gosh.
It's like you say, we produce energy and fuel with amongst the lowest pollution levels of any nation on the planet. China and the Soviet Union have amongst the highest, and this senile old goat cut down our pipeline while encouraging the Russian pipeline. You know something? These people are traitors. They ought to be hanged. They are traitors. We are literally witnessing treason on our border and in our government. We talked about Afghanistan, right? You know, one thing I got to say, in the case of South Vietnam, The South Vietnamese did fight fairly effectively for over 3 years after the last U.S. combat units were withdrawn from Vietnam until, guess what? Their logistical train was cut due to Democrat. Is there a pattern here? Machinations in the wake of Watergate, Richard Nixon. Now, I'd like to remind folks, a black-clad guerrilla army did not seize and flatten the gates of the presidential palace in Saigon. It was T-54, T-55 tanks, lavishly supplied by the Soviet Union and Red China. You know, it's kind of hard to defend your country against an armor-led blitzkrieg when your artillery firing batteries are rationed at 10 rounds a day and your aircraft can't fly due to lack of fuel and spare parts thanks to the Democrats of the time. Flash forward to today. We got a senile old Democrat goat as POTUS, an utterly inept and inadequate plan to withdraw from Afghanistan, as he pitifully begs the Taliban to not damage United States soil in the form of the U.S. Embassy whenever the Taliban decide they want to seize Kabul, and leave a treasure trove of first-line U.S. equipment for them to seize, sell on the market, or use against our allies and or ourselves. Thanks again, Democrats. Nobody but Democrats does and engineers these kind of debacles. Yeah, there's a uniparty aspect to it, but it's engineered always by Democrats.
Yep, certainly is. And, you know, the thing that ticked me off this week, though, the thing that really ticked me off this week had to be, it was two things that ticked me off this week. It was that party, that shindig with Barack Obama, and this lady defending her sons for shooting that cop last Saturday. You know, people will sit there, they'll stroke this woman, they'll say, oh, you know, we understand they were your babies, and, you know, they're going to jail and whatever, but we're here for you and everything. Nobody's sitting there telling her, you are a bad mama. You are bad. That's why your kids acted that way. That's why your kid, woman gets up there talking about, oh, my kids were afraid for their life. The police officers that they shot didn't even have their guns unholstered. Oh, they were afraid for their lives. There's another side to this story. Are you serious? And then she gets arrested because she's going into the hospital and her son's being detained. I want to see my baby. I want to see my baby.
Vince, the boy, for the man, rather not boy, he's a man, so he's allegedly a man, he's in the security ward of the hospital. No one is allowed in when they're in a security ward of the hospital being detained temporarily until they can be transferred to a secure penal institution of some sort, to a secure facility.
Exactly.
They're in a security wing in a hospital. You don't let anyone come in there other than authorized personnel. But this hysterical woman, and that's what she was. She was a hysteric. She's filming her own hysteria, comes running in demanding to see her child like some kind of juvenile damn delinquent herself. I have no pity for this fool, and I can see why her kids turned out the way they did. None. Absolute hysteric. I mean, have you seen the complete video and heard this crazy woman? She's kicking the cops, demanding to be let in. She didn't even speak to him reason. May I please see my son? I miss him so, and I know he needs to see me. Now, I'm sure they would have said no anyway, but she could at least have started that way. No.
Yeah.
She just charged in and said, give me my way. You're just here for what reason? I don't know. Why are armed police officers watching your son in a hotel wing? I guess that just didn't occur to this dummy that they're there for a reason.
Well, I tell you what, if I had been one.
It was unbelievable as I watched it. And to hear people, some people, not most people clearly don't sympathize with this crazy woman, but some people do.
If I had been one of them cops, I would have had my pistol out. Matter of fact, I would have had my riot gun hiding behind the door and ordering them to get out the car.
You're Ashley Babbitt, or would you Ashley Babbitt it there, Bianchi?
Oh, yeah. And you see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say that they should start having police officers use a loudspeaker to tell people to get their license plate renewed, or they're going to get in trouble, rather than pulling them over, stopping them, checking for insurance, and seeing if they got a warrant. This is some of the most maddest thinking people that I've ever seen in my life.
And do you know how many people I've busted on warrants, pulling them over for minor traffic violations like that? I mean, that's almost a given. So many of these guys wanted on warrants or about ready to get involved in criminal activity that you detect after you pull them over legitimately for some sort of violation that is on view, like on view license plate or equipment violation or failure to comply with some minor traffic regulation. I mean, you almost would have, I'm just guessing, 25 to 30% of the legitimate arrests you make, you wouldn't make if you didn't do it. But this is what they want.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party wants to enable their thug constituency. It is deliberate. It's not an action. It's not a disagreement over policy. It's what they want. They are empowering the lumpen proletariat aspect of their Marxist ideology.
Yeah. And folks, I got a couple of minutes left, but I want to encourage everyone to read this book I've been reading for the past couple of weeks called The Specter of Communism. You get it through the Epoch Times. You can probably get it on Amazon too. It's called The Specter of Communism, and it goes into detail how countries like China and the Soviet Union failed to communism. And it's a very good book. I recommend everybody read that book. If you want to know what communism is all about, read that book, The Specter of Communism, from the Epoch Times. Because basically what I'm seeing right now going on in this country, it's leading us right to communism. It is. You know, they can sit there and say it's not, but
Vince,
beg to disagree.
Vince. Yeah. Even Karl Marx didn't trust the lumpen proletariat. Even he thought they were unreliable and mercurial and volatile. You know, he said, well, it might be useful for some purposes, but you can't really trust them. These Democrats, though, are willing to put our whole society at their mercy. That's why they're not at all that perturbed by this rapid crime buildup, this incidence of crime. It enables an opening for them.
I'm
gonna get out of here.
Go ahead, Bianchi. Go ahead.
Yeah,
good talk to you, Bianchi.
I got to get back to my fruit bat perch before it gets too dark.
Yes, make sure you pick them off when you spot them.
I sure will. I'll talk to you guys later. Be safe.
All right, now thanks again. All right, folks. Well. That's it for the show. I'm in archives now. Next weekend, I won't be having a show next weekend. Just want to remind people of that. I won't be having a show next weekend. I got to take care of some personal business. But next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I won't be having a show. So just want to remind everybody of that. But you all take care of yourselves, you all, and keep standing up for the truth. If you see something going on it requires you to speak the truth on it. Speak the truth. It's time for us to stop looking the other way and ignoring what's going on, because we got a country to save. But anyway, this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.